Isn't this a sports show?
Back to sports!
Thank you, every caller.
Almost entirely.
Like, he is a bipartisan bleep talker. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be known as a bipartisan bleep talker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I gain energy by talking. I'm a plant in that way, and my photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
You know they're probably not going to talk about on ESPN? Too many spider boys.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe. Follow me, then destroy me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
It's a Red Friday. The Chiefs play a game tomorrow. It's a preseason game. It's a game. So what are we going to do to get ready for it? Again, a preseason game? We're going to have a two-hour Chiefs show. It's just going to be that. Now listen, do I feel some sort of moral obligation to mention everything else that's going on in sports and the world? Of course I do. Who wouldn't? We're moral beings, right? We have some sort of desire to do the duties that we have been assigned. All right, fine. Steve Bannon got fired. Joaquin Story got put on the 10-day DL, which means that he's been pitching with an oblique problem for weeks, which is totally unacceptable. Salvador Perez is starting to take batting practice again. The Royals start a 3-game series with their most important rival tonight. All right, Chiefs time. That was everything. Everything else was there. If this was a Wednesday, we would have been talking about Steve Bannon, Joaquin Story, Salvador Perez, and the Royals-Indian series. But we did some of that yesterday. And we'll do some of that on Monday or Tuesday, I'm sure. Probably more likely on Tuesday. Because my intention for this football season is for the days of the show that bracket Chiefs games, they are going to be very Chiefy shows. And I'm sure they'll get even more so as we get to actual regular season football games. My name is Joshua Briscoe, as I'm sure you heard in the intro, unless you tuned in precisely right now. And like, who is this guy? Why is he talking about the Royals and Steve Bannon so quickly? My name is Joshua Briscoe, though. Beers McFly running the show. We're going to have Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Pride on. Oh, no. Beer just made a very upset face. Hold on 1 second, Beards. Let me tell the people what's coming. We're going to have Seth Kaiser on at 4:30, and we're going to have Brandon Kiley on at 5. Both of them are here to talk Chiefs. I just saw Beards mouth the words, oh, my God. Very Chiefy show after we figure out what the hell just happened to Beards.
The computer mouse and I are feuding today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You need nothing like that. Like,
I
deleted,
went
though.
Left and it went right. Literally, that's what it just did.
But you, nothing got destroyed. You didn't
yet.
You didn't lose any.
That day is coming.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Eventually, yeah. Here, this is the thing. All right, inside sports, real quick.
Oh, by the way, the other computer that we used to record things,
yeah,
has already messed up today. Let's hope that doesn't happen during your show.
Yeah, listen, man. If equipment, that's Beards knocking on the only wood within his reach. The peek behind the curtain here, and this is not just because, Beards, pull together, man. I can't do this show while I watch you go through this drama unfolding. Peek behind the curtain. Everything on Beards' side of the glass, is holding on by a thread. Like, the computers he's using run on Windows XP, genuinely. And that's also true for largely, like, this whole building, I guess. Whatever. That's why we're currently... You know, remember those mice that had the rollerball in the middle and the clicky buttons on either side? Not the ones that were, like, super ergonomic, you know, that, like, fit to your hand and made sense. I'm talking about the ones that are, like, shaped like a brick. The ones that are, like, older than I am. We have those. Now, not the ones that Beard was just mad at. That one just doesn't work. But we have a mouse that, like, controls the commercials and everything. That mouse is one of those brick roller tracker ball mice. And so whenever you occasionally hear anger in Beards' voice, or if I get irreparably distracted by Beards, it's because he's at war with equipment his own age. But as I said, today, all Chiefs. We will cut the crap today. I actually am very excited to talk about the Chiefs with Seth and with Brandon. Both of them have just a tremendous number of things to say about, well, Seth is very Chiefy. We'll have Brandon on other times to talk about Mizzou and everything. But we will get you ready for tomorrow night's game. And also, I'll be hosting the post-game show over on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As soon as the game ends, Frank Bowl and I will be recapping the events of preseason game 2 and also taking your calls and everything over on the other side of the hallway. But now you're here on Almost Entirely Sports. It's 4 to 6 p.m. every weekday on 1510 a.m. and 99.3 FM. And it's Chiefs time. I saw a hypothetical question posed on Twitter today that I thought was pretty interesting, partially for its morbid nature. The question was, would you rather see 3 touchdowns from Alex Smith and 3 interceptions from Patrick Mahomes, or 3 interceptions from Alex Smith and 3 touchdowns from Patrick Mahomes? And this made me smirk because, again, it's a mean and morbid question. And my knee-jerk reaction to this sort of made me feel, I don't know, something resembling shame. I don't really know exactly what shame feels like. I've been told that I should. But my immediate reaction to that was, oh, obviously I'd rather see Patrick Mahomes throw 3 touchdowns. And Alex Smith can just throw pick after pick after pick for all I care. That's fine. I want to see Mahomes look good. But if both of those things happened, if Alex Smith was -3 touchdown to interception ratio and Patrick Mahomes was +3, can you imagine what Monday would be like? Oh, Dios mío. It would be a train wreck, because it would be a piling up of all of the people who would be filing behind Andy Reid's words, which would be, Alex had a bad game, Pat had a good game, we're glad the Pat looks good, Alex will be fine, Alex is a quarterback. That would be the predominant line of thinking. That would be the accurate line of thinking. I get it. However, can you imagine how that day would go for the anarchists? For those of, I guess I should say, us who are a little bit more itchy-fingered when it comes to pulling the trigger on making that move at quarterback. Oh my goodness. It would be like Christmas, but also it'd be like Christmas and when your dog died also on Christmas. It's like one dog. I guess it would be like your dog dying Christmas Eve and then getting a puppy Christmas morning. Like, it's all kind of uncomfortable, but like it's bad news and good news. Also, your puppy might suck. Like, Patrick Mahomes might not be good. But I think the thing that I've realized more and more as I've become more and more eager to hear if the Jaguars ever call the Chiefs just to gauge interest on trading Alex Smith, the thing I've discovered about myself over these last couple of weeks, it's not that I hate Alex Smith, because I really don't. I'm not that one guy on Twitter whose avatar is Alex Smith with like an X on his face. That's not me. And I've defended and celebrated Alex Smith wherever possible. I'm not that guy. But I think I've figured out, I think I've identified the inspiring factor to what sort of drives my thinking on all of this. I think Patrick Mahomes is more ready than most people think. And because of that, I am more eager to see that transition go ahead and happen now. Because I think that we're getting stuck in a logic trap. Because, answer me this. If Patrick Mahomes was ready to start his in-game learning now, if you knew that for a fact, if you knew right now that Patrick Mahomes was not going to benefit by more time on the sidelines, then why, I guess not even why, would you not start him then? If you believe that. If you knew, if you believed that Mahomes was not going to learn anymore as a backup, would you roll with him now? Or if you wouldn't, why wouldn't you? And for me, I think the obvious answer is, well, if you believe that, if you / Andy Reid believed that Pat Mahomes was only going to improve now by getting actual NFL game in-game snaps, of course you would get him in there now. That's why we're waiting, right? And that's the thing. That's the separation. I think there are a lot of Chiefs fans at this point who actually have talked themselves into one more year of Alex Smith, giving Alex Smith one more year of opportunity instead of letting Alex Smith captain the ship while Patrick Mahomes gets ready. Does that make sense? Is that differentiation understandable? Because I don't think that any of us can say, well, Mahomes shouldn't play until he's better than Alex Smith, because Pat Mahomes isn't going to be better than Alex Smith his first 4, 6, 8, maybe 16 games. That's not going to be enough right out of the gate. He's going to need to make mistakes in games. He's going to need to play in games. And he'll have successes and failures. And then you hope that at some point soon he's better than Alex Smith. But I think the prevailing logic that we talked about yesterday on the show was that the reason that Alex Smith will not be unseated by Patrick Mahomes is because Patrick Mahomes isn't ready yet. And I refute that. I think Patrick Mahomes is much, much closer to being ready than your average tweeter, as I saw proof of over these last few days. So if you believed that Mahomes couldn't learn anymore on the sideline, it would make all the sense in the world to start him now, would it not? And I think that's where the fallacy of this comes in somewhere. I think there are a large portion of Chiefs fans at this point that would say, I don't care if Mahomes is ready. This is Alex Smith's season. And I think that is a harmful mindset to have about your football team. Because Alex Smith is more likely to give you, I guess, an AFC West championship this year than Patrick Mahomes is, even if Mahomes is ready to start learning now. But by that logic, that will also be true next season. In 2018, I think there's a very good chance that Alex Smith is more likely to get you 12 regular season wins and an AFC West championship than Patrick Mahomes will be in 2018. He's going to have growing pains. I think the interesting argument to be had here is, why not start the growing pains now? And I don't think I know the answer to that. You're going to have, let's just say you're going to have 6 rough Pat Mahomes games in his first year in the system. That seems fair enough, doesn't it? You're going to get 6 rough Pat Mahomes games and 10 good Pat Mahomes games in his rookie in his first season as the starter. I don't think that number is going to shift very much by waiting until next year to bring him into the fold. And if you do think that number would shift that much, why? What are his criticisms? His footwork is kind of messy, even though his arm strength makes up for that in a huge way. his in-game footwork is going to be tested and improve if need be by being in games. He has a hard time reading defenses, which I don't think is actually true, but that's a thought that maybe he's not ready to read NFL defenses. He's going to learn how to read NFL defenses by being on the field in NFL games. So I think the argument for starting Patrick Mahomes isn't as ridiculous as it might have seemed even a month ago. Because from what I've seen and heard from and about Patrick Mahomes, I think he's much closer than you would believe at this point to being where he would be a year from now. Not that he's much closer to being a perfect NFL starting quarterback. Not even that he's necessarily closer to being better than Alex Smith. But closer to being ready to start learning in games than you would have expected. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe, or you can call the show at 913-491-8255. That's 913 Tyler Thigpen, Tom Bahali, Dwayne Bowe, D Ford, or at JBBRISCO. I'll take your pushback. I'll take your feedback. If you're with me or against me on it, I'm willing to hear you out. But the thing for me at this point is that I'm trying to predict the counter arguments. That's a good debate tactic, right? I had a fun critical thinking class in high school, and part of it was, well, you know, can you predict what the counter argument's going to be, and then do you have an argument ready for that? I'm trying to predict the counter argument here. And whenever I really do that, I think a belief you have to hold, logically, is that Patrick Mahomes will have a much easier integration into the NFL in his second season than he would as a rookie. And I'm not sure how much sense that makes. It's something that we all accept at face value. We all just sort of accept the idea, the fact, that a year on the bench is going to help Mahomes. I think years behind a guy like Alex Smith would be beneficial to Tyler Bray, Aaron Murray, etc. But eventually, you want to get to a point where your rookie can only, or your quarterback of the future, can only learn from being in games, and that's when the next level of the learning process begins. And I just think Patrick Mahomes is closer to that than you might expect. And it's something I'll be keeping an eye on in the preseason game. Obviously, quarterbacks are one of the things that I'll be watching for. I'm not really that interested to see what Alex Smith does because I have a huge sample size of Alex Smith. That's another reason that I'd much rather see Alex Smith throw three picks and have Pat Mahomes throw three touchdowns. Alex Smith looking bad in the preseason, I don't think is actually going to change my opinion of Alex Smith. Pat Mahomes looking good in the preseason would be a real fun time. And so with that sample size, I'm going to be interested to see how he deals with defenses both tomorrow, or if you listen to the podcast, maybe tonight, and in week three. Because in week three especially, there's a little bit of actual game planning that can go on. So maybe the defense will be a little more prepared for specifically Patrick Mahomes. Maybe they'll be throwing a few more wrinkles in their scheme to try to give Mahomes some more trouble. But at this point, I don't see Mahomes having a super difficult time dealing with defenses, especially with some of the sound we played a couple days ago from training camp. If you heard that, if you didn't hear that, you can go find the podcast from a few days back. It was on the Roughing the Kicker feed on iTunes, and you can search for Almost Entirely Sports everywhere there are podcasts, and you'll be able to find it there also. Mahomes sounds like a guy who understands the difference between pros and college, and a guy who is going to be capable of making that transition. A guy who's going to, he's going to have his struggles. He's going to occasionally see things he wasn't prepared for. But that's going to happen this year, next year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. With what we've seen from Mahomes, I think he's closer than you'd expect. Also, Sean Smith got arrested for felony abuse. It's a quick update on yesterday's story that Sean Smith had been demoted by the Raiders to a second-string cornerback, and I told you that I was interested in having him come back to Kansas City. And then after the show, the report came out that he had been arrested for felony abuse or violence or something. And so that really put the brakes on the whole, like, Sean Smith back to Kansas City thing. But then it came out that he was charged for beating his sister's boyfriend. And I'll tell you what, usually, like, condemning violence is pretty easy, but nothing puts the brakes on a really aggressive condemnation like the phrase sister's boyfriend. In that moment, I thought, you know, even if this was a crime, like, maybe he had a point. Usually that's not a point I ever get to with conversations about domestic violence or abuse of any sort, or beatings, as it was phrased somewhere. Usually any sort of beating is easily condemnable. But the jury is going to go ahead and continue deliberating as we wait for the facts on beating up your sister's boyfriend. Just like it becomes a whole lot more understandable, right? Like, we don't know what the reason is, and maybe it's a terrible reason. It could still be a terrible reason. Maybe Sean Smith beat up his sister's boyfriend because Sean Smith let him borrow his car and he didn't fill it up with gas by the time he got back. Maybe it's a bad reason. Or maybe you got a reason for beating up your sister's boyfriend.
I mean, you have a sister.
Yeah.
And I have a sister.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of makes sense.
It kind of makes
sense.
You
can see that happen. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely could. I'm a person that I would say...
It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
That's right.
But it's like, well...
Yes. It might not help you. Here's how it works. It might not help you in the court of law. And also, it might. But it's definitely going to help you in the court of public opinion. In the court of public opinion, everybody with a sister is going to be like, I mean, yeah, but like, I get it, though. Like, yes, it was bad. He probably shouldn't have done that, but I get it. Welcome back to Abuse Court. The ruling, all abuse is bad. But maybe if you beat up your sister's boyfriend, you had a point. Maybe. Not definitely, just a possibility. Something I think we should universally consider.
Hold on. Let's restart this.
Okay.
Okay. Bringing forward the notion of potential felony assault.
Ooh, bad. That's
now,
a bad one.
Now, the...
Details.
Details.
What are the details? From the clerk. Oh, I'm reading now. Hold on.
Yeah, what are the details?
I'm reading now. Flipping through his pages. Oh, he beat up his sister's boyfriend. Hey, okay. All right, so maybe... Maybe he's got a point. Nice record scratch work, Beards. That was solid. That sounded better than anything I thought you were capable of producing.
That hurts.
I mean, like, it's also a compliment, though. All right, whenever we come back, we're going to talk to Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Pride. We will ask him about all sorts of Chiefs things, and I'm also going to ask him if he has a sister and if he ever had to beat up a sister's boyfriend. That's next year on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
That was the training camp heroin. Every once in a while, I will just tweet, like, needle emojis and, you know, hashtag training camp heroin, because that's what we're living for right now.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. As I mentioned at the top of the show, today is a full-on Chiefs day. There's a game tomorrow night. We've got too much Chiefs stuff to talk about, but I also don't want to leave the rest of, you know, the city hanging. Other stuff going on. So, Steve Bannon got fired. Joaquin Soria got put on a 10-day DL, which means he's been pitching with oblique problems for weeks, which is totally unacceptable. Salvador Perez is starting to take batting practice again. The Royals start a 3-game series for the most important rival tonight. Also, Sean Smith beat up his sister's girlfriend, so he may be terrible or may be totally justified. Everything else is Chiefs. We're now joined by Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Pride. He's at RealMNChiefsFan on Twitter. And now his podcast has a name, which is, I believe, Chief of the North, or Chief in the North. I think it's Chief in the North. Seth, which one is it?
It is Chief in the North. I was actually told by people that Chief of the North, would mean I am a lord, but Chief in the North means I'm a king. People take this stuff very seriously.
Pretty good.
And so they corrected me on that. So it is the Chief in the North podcast.
All right. Other question that's tangentially chiefy. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have two older sisters.
Okay. So whenever we talk about Sean Smith, you know,
yes.
I've been saying for a while now, if the Raiders ever figure out a way to part ways with Sean Smith, I would welcome him back in Kansas City. I said that yesterday afternoon. Then yesterday night, Sean Smith is arrested for felony assault, for beating, and at this point, you know, all the way up until for beating, it's just the worst possible thing, right? Like, oh God, this guy, what a scumbag. Then you find out that it's his sister's boyfriend, and all of a sudden, judgment comes to a screeching halt.
And men across America go, oh.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it still could be felony assault. It still could be very bad. It could still be unjustified. But also, I can't pass judgment, like, as fiercely as I was preparing to, so.
Right. You know, my deal with Sean Smith has more to do with what little I've seen of him, especially this year.
Mm-hmm.
He was never a fast corner, and the problem with not being a fast corner is you can't afford to lose a step.
Right.
And I think he's cooked. I don't think he's got enough foot speed left to not just get burned repeatedly. So that for that reason, I wouldn't really want him back in Kansas City. I think whenever you have an issue of allegations, and this is probably from the day job, what I don't like about our culture is that we tend to be very, as soon as we hear news, we jump to conclusions and we don't wait. I think in every situation, you need to wait and see what the information is. As a guy who prosecuted for a couple of years, I've seen cases come out where turned out people were lying or turned out people were guilty of sin, but that's what the legal process is for.
Right.
Whereas we're all too eager to try and hang people in the court of public opinion, and I can't stand that.
I forget the fact that, like, we could have you on to talk about, like, actual, like, law-related issues sometime. Like, that can be a part of our conversation. I know that's probably not your favorite thing to break out after the 5 o'clock bell or whatever, but...
That's no worries.
It's also an option.
Yes, yeah, that's... I'm a jack of all trades, you know? I can be talked to about many things, the law being one of them.
That's true. Well, let's go ahead and talk Chiefs now. In the quarterback sense, I figured out something over these last couple of days because I've been talking about how, you know, what would it take for Patrick Mahomes to unseat Alex Smith? Is there an instance? And a lot of Twitter replies were like, yeah, if Alex Smith gets launched into space accidentally, which isn't very helpful. because I think there's...
That's a really funny reply.
I don't think I ever actually got that, but I think...
got launched into... Well, I mean, they're right.
It was
probably raised some questions about what they're doing in NASA too, but
absolutely.
Oh, that was really funny. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
No, it's good. I wish I would have gotten out of the way of it and stopped trying to talk over you laughing, so we could have had a flawless liner for every time that you're on here to introduce you with. But it also would have been really confusing because I don't think that rocket's flying more than 30 yards in the air. But
nice.
Thank you. I take easy jokes like Alex Smith takes easy throws, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was right there. You had to.
It was a check down to Spencer Ware. But so that type of response is not very helpful. And the thing that I figured out, like literally today, like minutes before the show, is that I think we have an understanding among Chiefs fans and Chiefs analysts or whatever that's actually kind of misguided. So let me just bounce this off of you. If... if you believe that Patrick Mahomes is as ready as he's going to get now, it would make all the sense in the world, logically, to start him now. Because whenever he does hit the field, he's going to have growing pains. Let's just say that he has, in his first season, he has 6 rough games and 10 really good games. That seems reasonable enough. 10 good, 6 not so good. If that's going to happen in 2017 or 2016, or not 20, I mean, if he was going to be that good in 2016, that would be tremendous, because that's already over. If he was going to do that in 2017 or 2018, it doesn't matter when he actually begins. Start that process as soon as you can. What I think we've accepted accidentally, in large part, is that this is Alex Smith's season, kind of regardless of where Pat Mahomes is. And I think that ends up doing a disservice to this whole team, because if you believe that Patrick Mahomes is as ready now as he's going to be a year from now, and that if that year behind Alex Smith isn't really going to benefit him that much, which is where I start to find myself leaning, and that that what's going to matter the most for Pat Mahomes is going to be his development on the field in NFL games, then you would pull that trigger now, right?
Absolutely. I don't know whether coaches believe, Andy Reid has said a lot about he's not ready, we need him to prepare. I don't know how much in reality, because coaches got to coach speak.
Right.
I don't know how much in reality coaches believe this idea that sitting for a year really helps with development. And the moment you say stuff like that, someone goes, yeah, but Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And I'm losing my mind. I got to tell you, it's been a rough couple days for me on Twitter.
Yes.
I've somehow become the face of the Start Mahomes Now movement. I don't know how that happened, because I personally am like, I don't think it'll happen. But so I have people yelling at me that have really liked my work for years because they think I'm anti-Alex. So that's fun. But anyway, so the moment you say, like, sitting a quarterback, does that necessarily help? That hasn't been proven. People have talked about Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers would have been great regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Because for every quarterback that you name that sat for a couple years, you can name a quarterback that started as a rookie.
Yes.
And so the evidence is on both sides. And so to me, there's no automatic, oh, yeah, of course he'll get better. Well, why? Like what you're saying, where there's a certain point there, you can only learn so much practicing and looking at a playbook. There's a ceiling there to how much you can really get better. I think, for example, like LDT, who in 2016 was way better than he was in 2015,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think had in 2015, they brought him out there, and he was pretty bad. He wasn't horrendous, but he was pretty bad in 2015. But he went through 16 NFL games. He got a chance to play. He got a chance to see what it was really like out there on the field in a way that can't be replicated in any other scenario, including preseason games, including practice. You cannot mimic what goes on in an NFL game. You just can't. I think that had something to do, and I can't prove it one way or another, with how rapidly he improved.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he was out there, he got a chance to see, this is what it takes. This is what I'm facing. And so then that even affects, in my opinion, your ability to practice for it, because you know what you're practicing for.
Yeah.
When you're practicing for something that you've never done, you can practice all you want, but you don't really know for sure what you're going up against.
Right,
and that's kind of my opinion. To where I do think there is a certain point to where when has Pat developed as much as he's going to without playing? Now I don't know if we reached that point or if he's got another year.
Right,
but that's a good argument. One of the better ones I've heard.
And so just for a comparison here, I just pulled up Derek Carr's stats to give us sort of a baseline. His rookie season, when he played, he started all 16 games as a rookie.
Yep.
The Raiders went 3-13. He had a 58% completion percentage. He threw 21 touchdowns and 12 picks. He averaged 5.5 yards per attempt. His second season was a huge jump. The team went 7-9, so still not great, but he ended up completing 61% of his passes. He threw 32 touchdowns and 13 picks. He averaged 7 yards per attempt.
Uh-huh.
What I see there is the obvious progression of a quarterback being thrown into the league. The misconception that I think we have is that by sitting this year, Patrick Mahomes is going to skip the year with 21-12 where you go 13-3. And I don't think we have any actual evidence for that. Also, Pat Mahomes will be stepping on to a much more talented team than Derek Carr did.
Absolutely, and that's a big thing from year one to year two. Now, to be fair, Derek Carr, his accuracy was was really spotty his rookie year. That was his biggest weakness. And he really started to tighten that down, which, you know, good for him. He still can't beat Bob Sutton, so I don't care.
Right.
So good for him. But you make a really good point there. People act as though by sitting him for a year, he won't be like a rookie the first time he plays.
Right.
And I don't see any evidence for that. You can only practice so much. Like I was just, you know, ranting about. There's nothing like being in an NFL game, and no matter what, no matter how long you take, it's going to be an adjustment when a guy gets out there for the first time.
Yep.
And I think some people learn by doing way better than they learn by, you know, reading or going through reps in shorts. Now, it depends on the person. Everyone's different, and only Andy Reid's in a position to know how does Patrick Mahomes learn. Based on his history, based on what we know how things went for him in college, a very strong argument can be made that the best evidence we have is that he learns by doing, because that's what he did in college. And so, I you know, again, I'm not Mr. Yeah, you got to start, because I think Alex Smith will have a good year. I think he and Tyreek have developed a good connection.
Agreed.
But what drives me nuts is the idea that there's no possibility of it. And I, as much as I dig with people, I can't get any reasons other than blurbs that are kind of almost memes. You know, it's like, well, people are better off if they sit here. Oh, well, you know, it takes a while to learn an NFL playbook. Well, Aaron Rodgers. And those are the things that I hear, but I'm not hearing any great arguments for this idea that he's doomed if he goes out there this year.
And that's the thing that I'm curious. Like, if I make you defend that, if I say here's a case you don't want to take necessarily, but here it is, what would be the reason that you would give for what Patrick Mahomes could improve on by being benched this full season, these next 16 games? What is it that he still could learn and needs to learn in that time?
What I would say, if someone were going to make the best argument based on non-memes, I would say sitting games would give him an opportunity to examine professional film and the adjustments that are made to various coverages on defense, and it would give him an opportunity to learn in the video room what various NFL coverages and disguises look like. Is that as good as seeing it in real time? No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot better than nothing.
Sure.
I would say that would be the most important thing. The second most important thing, I've talked about this. I think the footwork thing is overblown with Mahomes, but it would give him an opportunity to continue to rep on 1-2-3 throw type routes, right? You know, the 1-2-3-4-5 step throw.
Right.
And it would give him a time to prepare and practice that kind of stuff. I think those would be the two biggest things. But I think being in the film room and just, you know, sitting in there with Andy Reid and Alex Smith, I think that would help. I mean, because he would be able to see in real time how these things progress. So, okay, did you see how that safety was disguising that coverage, but he was really about to jump the route across the middle of the field there? So what you want to watch for, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could certainly be helpful. The question becomes, how helpful relative to how much faster could he progress if he was just out there doing it and then reviewing the film?
Yeah. Well, and I don't know how much of like the training camp audio you get to hear, because here obviously we traffic in audio, so I've heard every syllable out of Patrick Mahomes' mouth since he got drafted, I think. whenever I hear him talk about the difference between the college game and the NFL game and how smart guys like Marcus Peters and Eric Berry on how much they study, I feel like he's a guy that gets to that. I don't have this grand fear that he's actually going to look like a deer in the headlights whenever he has to break down film. But even beyond that, even if I just give you all of that and say, yes, his footwork would improve and his ability to look at the tape would improve by just being able to sit there and do that for a year. Even then, the possible return on that investment can't be more than giving him a head start on his first few games, because eventually you have to see it in front of you with your actual eyes. You have to be doing those repetitions with your footwork whenever you have bodies falling around your feet in a way that you do not have during a friendly practice. Even then, you're mortgaging, this is rough, but you're mortgaging a season of on-field repetition for the benefit of maybe a 3-game learning curve that he would have to catch up with during his second year. I don't think that's good math. Like, I'm not here to drive Alex Smith out of town, but I don't believe in that math being beneficial to him.
And that's where you and I kind of come to terms in the same area. That's, I agree. You know, for me, it's entirely dependent, and this is the problem, because, you know, you and I just can't know. Does Andy Reid think, well, I could, you know, I could design an offense around Patrick Mahomes for the first few weeks of the season that would be, you know, much more limited, but take advantage of his various strengths. Now, yeah. here's one thing I would argue. Andy Reid has already implicitly said that he could do that by making Mahomes the second-string quarterback.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's a great
because
point.
Because once he, when we were, I was talking to Pete Sweeney and Joel Thorman about this idea that now that he's made him number two, there's no going back. It's not like he's going to, you know, revert right. him back to third string.
No, it'd be a disaster.
I mean, I don't think so.
No.
That would be mind-boggling.
Yes.
So by saying, okay, you're the backup now, what he's saying is, you're a guy I trust to go into the game if Alex Smith gets hurt.
Yes.
And so then the question becomes, if you trust him to be the backup, how far removed is that from saying, yeah, you could start the first 4 weeks of the season for sure. I'd have to really limit the game plan, base things more around your particular set of skills like post-snap reads and pocket presence and arm strength. And Andy Reid could absolutely form a game plan around those things. And then, like what you and I talk about, the learning curve gets accelerated because you're out there on the field. And then every week you add in a slightly new element of the offense. And so then ideally, by the time you're in week 16 or week 17, you're up to 75% of the offense instead of 50%.
Yeah.
And I haven't had anyone tell me why that's not possible outside of telling me, well, he's not ready.
Right, exactly.
And answers like that drive me crazy.
Yes, me too. So here's one more question, then we'll shift over to something slightly different, but I guess only slightly.
Sure.
What's the best thing for Patrick Mahomes' growth from here on out? What would the best thing be? What makes Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback next year? Because next year, everyone agrees that next year he's starting unless something insane happens.
Sure.
What's the best thing? Let me rephrase that. What's the best scenario for Patrick Mahomes next season? What makes him the best quarterback in 2018?
The best quarterback in 2018, starting every game in 2017.
And isn't that the point?
And nothing else is even close.
Right.
You know, they're in a unique situation here because most teams that are ready to start a first-round quarterback, they don't have, one, a team that really does have a roster top to bottom that can contend. And the Chiefs do.
Yeah.
So that's different. And two, they don't have – when was the last time a team drafted a quarterback in the first round and they had a quarterback as competent as Alex Smith? So they're in a weird situation.
Yeah, I'm trying to
Alex
think.
Alex is a competent guy.
Yeah.
And they're a really good team. And so the only reason people don't want to do that is if they believe that it's punting on 2017. I personally don't believe it's punting on 2017. So that's why I've been more like, yeah, why not? Maybe see what happens. You know, if Andy's like, man, Mahomes would be a disaster, fair enough. But again, like you said, if he would be a disaster, it might be good to get that disaster out of the way now.
Sure.
And then by midway through the season, I just, with everything I've seen from Patrick Mahomes' collegiate career and everything I've heard about how much more quickly he's developed than people maybe initially thought he would, I don't know what makes people think that it would just be this, you know, horrific disaster of an awful season where everything went totally wrong because Mahomes is like the worst quarterback in the world.
Right.
Andy Reid made Kevin Kolb look like Cobb, however you said his name, look like a reasonable starting quarterback.
Yes.
You're telling me he can't do that with Mahomes, who is exponentially more talented. I just don't believe it.
And if that was the truth, then they would go find a Nick Foles to be the backup this year. If he was going to be
that much of a disaster. Or they would have let Bray stay in there as the backup. They kept Bray around for 5 years, and Mahomes, in what, 2 months, 3 months, beat him out.
Yes.
That says something.
I'm right there with you, and I have so many things that I wrote notes for that I wanted to talk to you about that we never got to, and we're out of time here now, and that's fine by me, because I think that's my favorite conversation I've had about the Chiefs since Pat Mahomes got drafted. So, as always, Seth Kizer, he's at RealMNChiefsFan on Twitter. You can go to Arrowhead Pride to see all of this stuff. Also, his podcast on Blog Talk Radio is Chief in the North.
Yes.
Seth, as always, thank you for the time, and we'll be talking again just as often as you'll make the time.
All right, that sounds great, Josh. Have a good one.
All right, we'll be back after this here on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Disney Channel's, you know, pushing their nonsense that all you millennials love this, you know, nonsense. That's why you guys lost election.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I think that went well.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. I know what's going to happen whenever the show goes out on podcast form. It'll be up on Arrowhead Addict and all these podcast feeds where I put all these podcasts and everything. And man, I know what the response is going to be. The response is going to be what we just said, because the people who need to hear this are not going to get this far. They're going to read the headline, I'm sure, and then comment on the Facebook post. But I think there are lots of good reasons for Patrick Mahomes to be starting, and we just put them all out there. If you're going to tell me that Mahomes shouldn't be starting, I need you to tell me what he's going to improve on so drastically in this season while being benched that will make him such a better quarterback next year. He's going to have growing pains on the field if it's in 2017 or if it's in 2018. He's going to throw some rookie-looking picks. That'll happen in his second year or in his first year. But at this point, I don't know why you would think that letting Alex Smith slide by is going to be the thing that costs you a Super Bowl. Let's get Mahomes. Let's get his growth started now. I think he's closer than you think. I think most of your reasons for holding him back actually aren't that sturdy. We'll talk more about it next with Brandon Kiley here on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'm actually going to program you into my radio now because I've enjoyed listening to you. I hope other people do too.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That is a victory, and that's somehow we're going to make that a promo. I'm going to put that one little line right there in some sort of promotional material. That's perfect.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. We're just going to give you two Chiefs hours today. We might accidentally give you two Patrick Mahomes hours today. That wasn't in the rundown. That wasn't the plan. But sometimes Seth Kizer and I start rolling and we end up getting to one of like six planned topics. And I'm telling you, I think we're going to find a niche to exploit here on this why Mahomes would benefit from starting now. This side of things. I don't know where Brandon Kiley stands. Brandon Kiley, who is the executive producer of the Kevin Wheeler Show on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. He's at BK Sports Talk on Twitter. Don't let the St. Louis thing scare you off. He's a great follow for lots of different reasons. Brandon, I don't know where you stand on the Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith, in general Chiefs quarterback situation. Do you have a current leaning that you are that you're holding to?
All right, Josh, so I'm out here flailing in the wind waiting for somebody to tell me which direction I should be going in.
Oh, yes! Perfect!
So here's the thing. I think there's two camps here. I think there's one camp in which you say there is value in going 10-6 or 11-5 this year, making the playoffs, possibly getting a win in the postseason, and maybe making an appearance in Foxborough in the AFC Championship game and getting your head kicked in.
Right.
I think there is some people that believe there's value in that, and I actually kind of agree with them to an extent. And then there's the other camp where you say, yeah, there's some value in that, but there's more value in this top 10 quarterback that you just selected, getting 16 games of reps on under his belt, and then preparing yourself for after Tom Brady is done with this Patriots run. And I agree with both of those camps. I do think there's value in both sides. I just honestly don't know which side I think there's more value in. And if Andy Reid tells me there's more value in playing Alex Smith, I think I back him, man.
Well, so here's a place that Seth and I ended up at the end of the last hour. It's pretty clear, I think, that Patrick Mahomes would... Seth said this, I agree with this. So maybe it's not pretty clear, but Seth and I are on the same page. that the best thing for Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback in 2018, the best thing for Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback in 2018 is to be the starting quarterback in 2017. You get in-game reps. It's simply going to get you at places that you cannot get from the backup slot, that you can't get from the film room. And I think that is, if you believe that, then I don't know how you can say that you're putting all of this value into getting maybe to an AFC championship game and having your head kicked in whenever you know that the future is brighter a little ways away, and you know that the future is Pat Mahomes.
So I guess then it kind of comes down to this for you. We're thinking of it as fans, right? We're thinking of it from the perspective of what benefits my favorite team the most.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to think about it from the Chiefs' perspective.
Sure.
Because that's all that honestly matters at the end of the day. Whatever the Chiefs want to do, that's what's going to happen. And we can sit here and we can talk about it all day, but what the Chiefs want to do matters, and that's what's going to happen. So if you're Clark Hunt, and that's where the decisions get made because you're at the top,
right?
You're saying to yourself right now, I have the possibility of my football team that I own going 11-5, maybe being a 2 seed in the AFC, hosting another home playoff game, selling out Arrowhead every Sunday, every Monday, every Saturday, every Thursday. There's like 27 different days that they play this year.
Right.
And that brings monetary value to me. And on top of that, next year, I can unveil this new shiny object that we got that's the top 10 draft pick when I'm not going to have a first rounder, and I can have another year of selling out Arrowhead Stadium. Mm-hmm. So from Clark Hunt's perspective, I think that's probably where they're leaning, and they're saying we've got value in 2017 and 18, and I can sell a ton of tickets, and I can have a team that's totally relevant and wins both years potentially.
I think that that is a good counterargument from Clark Hunt's perspective. I also want to believe that the best way to sell out Arrowhead 2 years in a row isn't Clark Hunt's biggest concern. I understand why it would be, but also
it is, man.
in this organization with Andy Reid being able to boot out John Dorsey, if you believe the reports from that direction, I would think that also you could sell Clark Hunt on, hey, let's go ahead and make this a perennial winner as soon as possible, which begins with getting Pat Mahomes into that conversation. But if you think that Clark Hunt would veto the whole thing, then I guess the whole conversation could essentially be shut down, and that's really bad for radio.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. I do this for 10 minutes. You do it 2 hours a day.
Sure.
I think the thing here is I'm not sure he would shut it down completely. I think he would ultimately tell him, you guys do what you think is best, but my decision would be stick with Alex Smith because I believe in him as our starting quarterback and our franchise quarterback for this year. I think at the end of the day, what we're really talking about here is an organization believes that they can be a 2 seed in the AFC. And they're saying, for now, that's good enough. Also, we've hedged our bets, and we still believe that we have our plan for the long term as well by going to Patrick Mahomes next year. Now, I do think there's value in getting Patrick Mahomes reps this year. I also think there is value in him sitting behind Alex Smith. And tangibly, will we see it? I have no idea. But you know the narrative that they're going to spin next year is going to be he learned a lot about preparation from Alex Smith. And I think there's something to be said for that, not just in football, but in any walk of life. Radio, you learn from the best. You learn how to prepare for a show. Josh, you're going to be better at doing it whenever you get your opportunity. Now,
right.
It's going to take you actually doing it
right.
to get to your full peak, but learning from people really does help. Sales, dentistry, being a doctor, whatever you do, learning from somebody that's very good at it will help you in your craft. So I think there is value in that as well.
I agree that there's value in that. There's value in learning from the guy a step above you. At the same time, I pulled up Derek Carr's stats just for grins and giggles, I guess is a safe way of saying that. Regardless, I pulled up Derek Carr's stats. Because he started every game except for last year whenever he broke his leg. Every game of his career, he started beyond that. He went 13-3 in his first year. He threw 21 touchdowns and 12 picks, and he averaged 5.5 yards per attempt. Second season, they went 7-9. He threw 32 touchdowns and 13 picks, up to 7.1 yards per attempt. The thing that I see here that I think that points to a larger misconception that Chiefs fans largely have at this point is that by sitting this season, that Patrick Mahomes will skip his quote-unquote rookie year. And I think that is the most harmful belief that a lot of fans are holding on to right now. because getting through his technical first season without throwing a pass or with maybe only starting one game in space of an injured Alex Smith, that's not going to get you through the trials and tribulations of your first year as a starter. And so if I'm in the Chiefs seat at this point, if I'm in Andy Reid's seat, I'd rather see those trials and tribulations come this season. And so you're not waiting a full another calendar year. Maybe it's 2 years from now then before the Chiefs can actually contend with the big boys. And at that point, Derek Johnson's gone. We don't know a thing about Justin Houston. You're paying Marcus Peters more. You're paying Tyreek Hill. This team is going to look very, very, very different 2 years from now. Why kick that can down the road whenever it's within arm's reach by getting that process going?
No, that's fair. The one thing that I would say, though, like with Derek Carr, his team around him was garbage
when he came
into the league.
Absolutely.
So we don't know if that year one to year two improvement was so much. There was some from him, don't get me wrong, but there was also some, oh my God, the offensive line went from atrocious to at least competent. And,
yes.
Oh, we added a receiver who can actually catch the football.
Like, right.
With Patrick Mahomes, he's going to be put into a situation maybe not quite as good as what you saw from Dak Prescott a year ago, but a similar situation in that it's pretty much ready-made. You
yes.
have your offensive line prepared. They're all signed long-term. It's going to be what it is now next year, and you feel pretty good about that. You've got a legitimate, in my mind, number one receiver in Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You have one of the three best tight ends in football. You have two competent running backs, we believe, right behind you. Like, you've got everything set up for you to hit the ground running. Now it's just, are you good or not?
Right.
And so I do think there's going to be fewer trials and tribulations for a guy in that situation than there would be if you were in the Raiders or if you're Blake Bortles down there or mm-hmm. if you're this year Mitch Trubisky in Chicago. I
yes.
just think the situations are pretty different.
Oh, and I agree. And I think to that point, that's why I'm sitting here. I'm going to be screaming in week six, hit the ground now. Go ahead and hit the ground. You'll be running. This is the time. So start this process.
What if it's week six, Josh? Sorry to cut you off.
That's
fine. What if it's week six and they're 4-2?
Well, no, I'm not. Then at that point, you're not gonna. I don't think you're gonna be able to step into that unless you see. And this is the wider question that I actually wanted to ask you at some point, which is, what would it take for you to pull the trigger if they're 4-2 and they've won games 18-12 for most of those four victories, and Alex Smith is not being able to connect with Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce's not being used how he should be, because this is another part of it with a supporting cast. Patrick Mahomes is a better natural fit for this offense, talent-wise, than Alex Smith is, especially now that Tyreek Hill, I think, is going to have a T.Y. Hilton, Deshaun Jackson sort of year and sort of usage, ideally. With all of that, Mahomes fits in this offense already. If you see the team winning in spite of Alex Smith, that will be enough for me. Is that a camp that you're comfortable putting up a tent in?
It's interesting because I think it all comes down to stuff that we can't see, and that's the worst possible scenario for what we do in
mm-hmm.
terms of, like, talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's, okay, what does Patrick Mahomes look like in practice when he's running the scout team going up against the Chiefs defense? Is he still making the same bad reads or throwing the same interceptions that he was this week going into week two of the preseason?
Mm-hmm.
Or has he eliminated a lot of those mistakes and he's starting to look like, oh, this guy gets it. He's catching on. He's starting to understand the offense. He can go in and he can win us games as opposed to Alex, who we can win with instead
right.
of because of.
Sure.
I think that's the thing that is frustrating for a lot of us, is we just can't see the things that are going to show us when Patrick Mahomes is ready until he's actually on the field for us to see. The people that will know that are the people that make the decisions, and you just have to trust in Andy Reid, who's one of the five best coaches conservatively in the NFL, and you have to trust that he's going to make the right choice there.
And this is me. I know that a lot of talking heads have been made fools by training camp audio bites, but I've listened to everything that Patrick Mahomes has said since he's been drafted by the Chiefs. And hearing him talk in training camp about the things that he's seeing differently now than he saw in college, and seeing him actually perform in training camp, but specifically just hearing him discuss how he's realizing that cornerbacks and safeties in the NFL are much smarter than they were in college, are much more in the film, are much more familiar with what's going to happen, and how that whole process works. Hearing him talk about that makes me not so afraid that he's going to be making bad reads constantly. And really, frankly, that all of the criticisms that come to Patrick Mahomes aren't as big of a deal as your average, I guess, college football pundit might suggest that they are. And those are all things that just get me leaning in that direction more and more every time I check myself.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I just think this team is good, and if you have a healthy Justin Houston, they have the potential to be very good,
mm-hmm.
and that just might be their ceiling for this year.
Yep.
And I think at some point we as Chiefs fans have to check that and say, okay, you know, 11-5 and being in contention again isn't such a bad thing. You don't have your first round pick, so that's not and I do think that actually might play into this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of going 6-10, I don't think it's going to happen, but the fear of going 6-10 with Patrick Mahomes at the helm and you giving a top 10 pick away to the Bills, mm-hmm. I think that does play into it a little bit from the GM's perspective. But I just think there's a chance that this team's really good, and there's a chance this team can make it to the AFC Championship game. And I don't think you punt on that because Tom Brady's 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one ankle roll away from Tom Brady not being the same guy this year. And now all of a sudden you go into Foxborough and you've got a fighting chance against Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think that's – if you're Andy Reid and you're trying to sell this to the fans, you wouldn't say it, obviously. But in your head, that's what's going through your mind.
Right. And I that's all legitimate and all factual, all true. At the same time, I think there's a better chance of you going to Foxborough next season with year two of Patrick Mahomes and just winning a football game instead of essentially praying for rain. But I digress for now. You mentioned the first-round pick thing, and it made me think about the discussion that's sort of come out of nowhere and really especially has come out of the Jags being a terrible organization. This conversation we've been having about the Jags potentially being interested in Alex Smith, or at least that they should be interested in Alex Smith, and what it would take for the Chiefs to give Alex Smith up. If you are, I was going to say if you're John Dorsey, and then I was going to say if you're Brett Veach, but I'm not even sure if that matters. If you're Andy Reid and Clark Hunt, two brains connected to one body, what would it take for you for you from the Jags to go ahead and ship Alex Smith down to Jacksonville?
If they give me a first-round pick, it's done. If they give me a second-round pick, I'm considering it. And this is where I think things get really interesting, because if Alex Smith is on your team, I hate to say this to Chiefs fans because I know what they're hoping for, but
mm-hmm.
I think he's going to start this year. I just think from game one to game 16, barring injury, that's your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And you can agree or disagree with it, but that's the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not on your team, if you were traded, now things get really interesting, and you also got value for the guy that you're probably going to have to either cut or trade next year when there's a ton of other quarterbacks on the market.
Yes.
So if you're going to trade Alex Smith, this is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The question then becomes, what are the Jags willing to part with? And I think the second-round pick makes a lot of sense, and now it goes back to Andy Reid. Would they take it? I think I might. I think I might in that scenario, and you definitely have to have a serious conversation about the possibility of doing it.
I would take a second-round pick this year, considering what the Chiefs gave up to go get Patrick Mahomes, or I would take a first-round pick the year after, because I don't know what the Jags are going to be 2 years from now, but I'm guessing it's not great.
Any first-round pick. Any first-round pick that's on the table, I think you have to do it.
And it solves all these questions. And really, I think the thing that gets super interesting, this is the thing that we just will not know until it happens, or it will never happen. If the Chiefs are having the conversations that we're having about, well, wouldn't Patrick Mahomes be best off by playing? And couldn't this team still win 10 games with Patrick Mahomes? If all of those questions are being asked in the brain trust there in the front office in Arrowhead, then as soon as the Jags come along with, hey, well, here's a second and a fifth, something like that, as soon as that gets posed, then you start being able to answer your questions without having to make the difficult decision to say, hey, Alex, actually just sit down and you step in case Pat gets hurt.
So, are you of the opinion they're having those conversations, though? Because I wouldn't be.
I think they have to be having the conversations about what's the best thing for this franchise right now and going forward. I think that Alex Smith, right now, if I'm betting money on it, I think Alex Smith not only starts this season, I think he starts over 13 games this year. You know, he's set to get to miss a game or two every once in a while. But I would say that he never loses the starting job this year if I had to bet my life on it right now. But I think it would be ridiculous for the Chiefs to not be kicking around these conversations of, well, let's check ourselves here really quick. Let's see the lay of the land.
I agree. I just I tend to get the sense that, especially based on Eric Edholm's reporting today, and I trust everything that guy reports. He's really good at his job. Mm-hmm. He talked to somebody within the Chiefs organization, and they told him, look, we're not interested in trading Alex Smith. The guy's our starting quarterback this year, and like he said, we expect him to be for the entire season. So I think they probably had these conversations, and they've come to the conclusion that, look, we like Alex Smith, we like Patrick Mahomes, we like the situation that we have, and we're going to ride this baby out for the 2017 season.
And I know you got to get out of here, but the one thing about that irks me is the idea that they have decided their answer to every possible offer before the offer ever comes in. That's the one thing that you just cannot do in the NFL that drives me nuts. But all right, give me on your way out here, Brandon. Give me one thing that you're looking forward to in tomorrow night's game to keeping an eye on.
Let's think of something that's kind of under the radar, because everybody wants to see Patrick Mahomes throw a deep ball, right?
Sure.
Like, that's the number one thing. Everybody wants to see Tyreek Hill go down the sideline and catch another 30-yard bomb to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
Something under the radar that I would like to see, I would like to see D4 do something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it has to be. I would like to see D4 do something, because I haven't heard a single report out of camp that says D4 had a good day.
Yeah.
Like, not a single time have I heard anybody say that. And that's supposed to be a guy that you're kind of counting on as a legitimate pass rusher this year. And with Justin Houston's health always being a question mark,
mm-hmm.
you need him to step up. So it's a big year for D4, and I would like to see him do something. A great play against the run, a sack, a pressure that was just like, oh, my God, that was a great first step that I forgot that he had.
Mm.
Anything. D4, do something in this game. That's what I'm looking for.
That's a good answer. Brandon Kiley, he's at BK Sports Talk on Twitter. You should be following him. If you're not already, go amend that right now. You can also hear him on the Kevin Wheeler Show on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. Brandon, as always, thank you for the time. Great stuff.
You're the best, Josh. Appreciate it, man.
He said, I'm the best. The very best? Like, the very best? Brandon said more nice things to me about this show than my mom has. That's not true. That might be true. Thanks, Brandon, and my mom. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
What are you laughing at, Beards?
So, Ken Taylor, host of the Outdoor Guys here on ESPN Kansas City on Fridays at 3. He texted me, do you also do duck noises? I do not.
I think you probably could learn to, right?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Go ahead and give us one. Through a computer.
Go ahead and give us one really quick.
No, I can't do a duck
Just
call.
Go ahead and try.
Here, ducky, ducky, ducky.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. Beards got to be the punchline of a liner. Is that a first? Is that a first where Beards is the punchline? It was good, man. That you hear Ducky 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 was very funny. It was probably your best comedic timing moment.
I think that was an old joke that somebody had told me. They were like, fun. Oh, hey, do you know how to do a duck noise? And they took the little cat from like a aluminum coke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were just like, here, ducky, ducky.
Yeah.
And I remember that forever. It's
perfect. It's
amazing.
It worked. It landed. Joke landed. It's good stuff. I don't know if this can't be normal. I'm not going to say I don't know if this is normal. This can't be normal. But like, really, I was sort of, and maybe also, not only might this not be normal, this might be lazy and bad. I don't know. But I literally thought about some of these Pat Mahomes questions I've been asking. Like, literally, if you're not going to start Mahomes, seriously answer me, why wouldn't you? I mean, I seriously thought about that question, like, 15 minutes before the show started. And then, throughout the show, I've been understanding it more and more and, like, being able to refute it more and more. And I feel like making a stronger and stronger case as the show has gone on. Which I think, now that I think about it, I think that's a sign of like a poorly written essay. Like, you should write an essay and then rewrite it afterwards, because sometimes you talk yourself into the point that you're making. You talk yourself into your thesis by the end of it, and then you actually believe the thing, and then you do it over again. So like, ideally, maybe I would have done all of this, had all these conversations with Brandon and with Seth and broken all this stuff down by myself before the show and then come in and done the show, but I didn't. So here's just the show. But I literally have little pieces of yellow, like, legal pad paper just, like, on the desk in front of me along with my Google Doc. And I'm just, like, writing things down like I'm in Memento or something. And it's absurd. But it's really, it's where I'm at this point. I keep writing down different points and asking different questions. And like, and a guy on Twitter said, you know, it's a brilliant strategy to create clicks but and have listeners tune in, but come on, highly touted personnel guys keep saying he needs time. First of all, I promise this is not, I'm not clickbaiting, or I'm not trolling for clicks right now. Or trolling for you to tune in on your station. I'm just genuinely trying to ask these questions. And I think the problem is that we're going to have a very difficult time getting smart answers to questions like, wouldn't Pat Mahomes benefit from playing this year in his own personal development? Yes. If so, what's the argument against getting him in there now? Well, you think Alex Smith gives you a better chance this year. Is that the point, though? Because if Alex Smith and this the 2017 Chiefs were the point to the franchise right now, they would not have traded up for Pat Mahomes. Maybe they would have traded up to get Alex Smith a number one wide receiver, or, you know, number two, depending on what you think of Tyreek Hill. Maybe they would have traded up and gotten another pass rusher. Maybe they would have traded up and drafted a cornerback, a number two cornerback, or an inside linebacker. If you were worried about this season, you would have made more moves with this season in mind. Tano Passanio is probably not going to start games until next season, when Alan Bailey, I believe his contract runs out. Pat Mahomes is probably not going to start games until next season, whenever Alex Smith is gone. If you're devoting your top two picks and next year's first-round pick to guys who won't be here till next year, you're saying to everyone, we're building for a better future here. Well, the best way to keep developing that future is to go ahead and get Pat Mahomes in there and get that rookie season out. Get him in games. Have his development on the field begin.
I was thinking about this when you were talking with Kaiser. So, obviously, I'm a Celtics fan.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics are kind of in this weird same position where they've got a really good team right now.
Yep.
They're signing a bunch of guys.
Yep.
But they've also got this youth movement behind them. And it's just kind of like, which way do you want to go? They're kind of doing the same thing. They're building for the future, and they're trying to win right now. Chiefs are kind of doing the same thing.
God, Beards, your NBA analogy worked.
I know.
That's amazing. Yeah,
I was thinking about that. I was like, wait a second. They're the exact same thing. They've both got a giant in their horizon in Cleveland or in New England,
mm-hmm,
that they just can't topple. So they're like, okay, we're going to build for now. We're going to do what we can. And then we've also got all these young guys coming in to when the giant falls when they just
now,
get old.
What's the Cliff's Notes version of what Boston did this offseason?
They
traded back from 1-3.
They traded back from 1-3. They picked up Jason Tatum, a guy from Duke.
Right.
They got the swap. I think it's a swap between the Lakers and the Kings.
That's too much. That's too complicated.
Basically,
they didn't get Paul George done. They did get
Gordon Hayward, and then they've got a bunch of other picks from a bunch of sucky teams for the next couple of years. So they're loaded,
right? And they're also, I've been saying this since we talked about this a little bit back on Sports Sunday during the NBA offseason. I think the Celtics are going to just miss their window. They're not going to win. They're simply not good enough to win now. And they are always of this mindset that they're going to win later. I think the Chiefs are doing a little bit of an inverse thing there, where they're trying to put out a contending team now, which is also going to make next year just a contending team at best. The Chiefs, I'll say it this way. I think this is very fair. If it's unfair, fine, whatever. Tweet me. But if Alex Smith starts every game this year and Patrick Mahomes starts every game next year in 2018, the Chiefs aren't going to be a Super Bowl contender until 2019, at least. At least. They're not, and this is the argument against Mahomes right now, I guess, but I'm saying this regardless of when his first year is, they're not going to win the Super Bowl in Patrick Mahomes' first season as a starter. They're probably not going to win an AFC Championship game. They might not get to an AFC Championship game. I mean, odds are they won't get to an AFC Championship game with Patrick Mahomes in his first year as a starter. Go ahead and make that this season. And the next year, you're going into year two of Patrick Mahomes, when all of this growth can happen. You're getting Alex Smith's contract off the books. You're getting a lot of dead money off the books. You're dealing with a lot of Jeremy Maclin stuff, but you're getting Jay Howard's dead money off the books. You're able to build in these other ways. You get a whole lot more salary cap flexible. And you're getting all of those advantages in year two of Pat Mahomes. And can the Chiefs win 11 or 12 games with Alex Smith this year? Sure. Can they win in Foxborough? Nah. Not unless Tom Brady gets struck by lightning. Which, frankly, I feel like God owes us one, but whatever. Are they going to win in Foxborough next year in Pat Mahomes' first season? Nah. Not unless the entire stadium gets struck by lightning. Are they going to be 7-9 with Pat Mahomes as the starter this year? I don't think so. I think this team's really good. It's a really good defense and really good special teams here to keep this whole offense doing enough. I think Patrick Mahomes would do enough to keep this team as an AFC West contender. And then by playoff time, you've gotten 16 games of Patrick Mahomes in the NFL. That's something I can be excited about.
You mentioned earlier, instead of them drafting Mahomes this year, if they thought they were going to go for it, they'd get somebody else to fill that position that needs instead. Do they think they're good enough now then?
Well, no, I don't.
Because then now they're just getting their next guy.
Right.
They're just kind of, not necessarily wasting, but they're just kind of using that for a future pick.
I don't know if any NFL team should ever be able to say they feel like they're good enough now, because the Patriots won the Super Bowl and they went and got Brandon Cooks from New Orleans, which is simply unfair.
So are they just hoping that they're healthier this year and then just injury strikes somewhere else?
I don't
and
think.
And they think, you know, oh, that the Pittsburgh game was just really weird last year and we could have won that?
No, I think if you hooked up Andy Reid to a lie detector and gave him truth serum and you really like double dipped on all that, I think he would tell you that he doesn't think they're going to win a Super Bowl this year. I think the Patriots think they will. I think the Packers think they can. I think if you hooked up Andy Reid to a lie detector, I think he would tell you that he doesn't think he can win a Super Bowl with Alex Smith. He thinks they can be good. Maybe I'm projecting. I think that.
So AFC Championship then?
I think the Chiefs' realistic
goal for them
is to get to the AFC Championship game. You get the Steelers beaten up, or you get them on a down day, and you go to Foxborough and you lose by 25 points in the AFC Championship game, and you go, well, we tried, now it's Mahomes' time. And then you're doing it again next year because Mahomes is doing it in his first season. Here's a larger scale question. I asked Seth, and I said, what's the best thing for Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback? Well, it's obvious it's to start every game this year. Let me ask you this. What is the best chance for the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years? It's Mahomes this year, Mahomes next year, Mahomes win a Super Bowl. That's the best chance the Chiefs have. Honestly. You're having some gambles there. I get it. Maybe Mahomes just falls flat on his face. All right. I know, that's the fear. That's fine. You can be afraid of that. But if you are honestly going to try to put your money on a team and you get to make the choices from here on out, you give me rookie year Pat Mahomes doing what he can. You give me next year's Pat Mahomes in his second year as a starter, making some big strides. Third year Pat Mahomes, if Patrick Mahomes is the guy the Chiefs think that he is and that he can be, and if Andy Reid is the guy that we think he is, then in Patrick Mahomes' third year as a starter, the Chiefs are a legitimate Super Bowl favorite. Favorite. As opposed to being a technical contender now. Because if you're going to be one of the four best teams in the AFC, you deserve to be mentioned as a favorite. But not a realistic one. I don't know how you can deny that that's the best plan for the future. Does it demand maybe you suffer a few gross losses this year when Mahomes has a couple of bad throws? Sure it does. But I'm just as afraid of that happening. I'm just as afraid of a 9-7 Mahomes team as I am an 11-5 Smith team that loses to the Patriots or the Steelers in the playoffs. And I think that's what's going to happen. You got something, Beards? You're on the mic.
I do. So
spit it at me, and we'll take a break in a little bit.
Okay. So are the Chiefs organization, they just don't want to sell the fan base from, hey, we're potential AFC wild card, or not wild card, AFC championship contenders, and then just kind of going, oh, we might make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that's...
I think the vocal minority of sports fans are the short-sighted ones, kind of, and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, we can make AFC championship game this year. Why'd they just trade Alex Smith and now we have a rookie?
I think there's a large part of that. I don't know if that's I don't know if that is the vocal minority. I think that might be the majority. It's the reason that I think the Chiefs would go ahead and say, you know what, we'll figure out the future in a little bit. It's because it's really hard to build an NFL team that can end up in a league championship game. That's a very difficult thing to do. Four teams every year successfully do that. And the Chiefs are a contender to get to that. I would say there's a, I don't know, with Alex Smith as the quarterback, with the team currently constituted, maybe there's a 33% chance that the Chiefs end up in the AFC Championship game. That might be too high. Let's say 25. 25% chance the Chiefs end up in the AFC Championship game. All right? One in every four tries. It happens. That's a whole lot better than, I don't know, 25 other teams. I mean, there are 25 teams in the league I think would kill for a 1-in-4 shot to end up in a championship game. In a league championship game.
Cleveland.
Everyone. I mean, so many.
Let's just go with the dark example.
So many teams would kill for that. Like right now, the Ravens and Dolphins are playing a preseason game. They're replaying a preseason game on NFL Network in front of me. Neither one of those teams have a 25% chance of making the AFC Championship game. Both of those teams would kill for that. So it's hard to say, and what is it with Mahomes? With Mahomes, it's probably a 10% chance. The defense doesn't get any worse, but the offense has, it's riskier. 10% chance might honestly not be high enough. But your chances are worse. Now, I would say that 16, in this case, I guess 18 games of Patrick Mahomes, I would rather have game 19 of Pat Mahomes in Foxborough to go to the Super Bowl than to have year 13 or whatever of Alex Smith. That's the thing that where it diverges. But I'm not even really talking about that anymore. For the future of this franchise, it would make a lot of sense to get Mahomes learning on the job. 913-491-8255 is the phone number here if you have any feelings on the issue. Or all, as always, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe. That's B-R-I-S-C-O. There's no E at the end of Briscoe. Those are fake Briscoes. I need extra letters to feel good about themselves. It's pathetic. I actually don't feel that strongly about it. It's just not my name. Whenever we come back, God, this show went insanely quickly today. I guess that's what happens when you have two guests on. But Seth and Brandon were superb. So today went really quick. Whenever we come back, we'll wrap up the Mahomes conversation. I'll give you a few things to look forward to as we go into the Chiefs' second preseason game. And also some places, now that training camp has wrapped up, some places on this team that I think I feel better about now that training camp is over, and a place that I feel worse about since training camp is over. All that's next here on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
The phone number here is 913-491-8255.
With Joshua Briscoe.
For people who only think in Chiefs jersey numbers, it's 913-TYLER-THIGPEN, TAMBA HALI, DWAYNE BO, D. FORD.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here. We'll wrap up shop on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 99.3 FM. We're here every weekday from 4 to 6. A couple more things on Mahomes. We'll move on to some other stuff. We'll also end up the show on Beards' weird old-timey sports story. I don't know what it is, but he said that it's a good story. A guy named Ryan has tweeted me a couple times about the show. Hasn't heard it yet. Just been catching up with the tweets and everything. And this is a counterpoint to the Mahomes stuff, but I think the response to it is even more impactful. He said, if there's even a 10% chance to ruin the kid or the team's chances this season, You don't entertain the idea. This team is close, and they're behind Smith. Let him have a crack at it and let Mahomes soak it all in. And I get it. I understand what you're doing there. I understand the math. Here's a couple of things. First of all, I don't think that Patrick Mahomes has a 10% chance of being broken by playing this year and has a less than 10% chance of being broken by playing next year. I don't think that's going to change with a year of him sitting. I'm not saying that from a snobby place or anything. I just don't think that's how that would go. I think if you're capable of being an NFL quarterback, I think Mahomes is at that place now where he's not going to be ruined by playing his rookie season. I just don't believe that. Not even a 10% chance. If he was going to get ruined this year, he'd probably get ruined next year. The other idea is that this team is close, and they have a crack at it. They're close by proximity. They're close as in, I can say, I think they have a chance to get to the AFC Championship game. But in all likelihood, that's as far as it gets. Well, you say, well, that's two surprise victories away from a Super Bowl victory. What do you mean they're not close? And it's a little nuanced and it's a little complicated, so I understand that idea that they're close. I would say that they're close to being in the AFC Championship game and not close as a team to winning a Super Bowl. And the place that they're closest, they're close defensively. They're close to having a Super Bowl caliber defense. They're close to having a Super Bowl caliber offensive line and set of weapons. I don't think they're close to having a Super Bowl quarterback with the guy they have right now. So I sort of also reject that idea that they're close. They are close if you think that close means a Tom Brady knee injury in the divisional round. Or if close means Ben Roethlisberger deciding to retire before you have to play the Steelers again. But by like team construction, I don't see it. I think you could argue that they're a quarterback away. I think that's reasonable. Also, someone else said, unless we get the farm for Alex, don't do it. And there's not a whole lot to refute there. But I hope that that guy just listens to this and is willing to hear it out. A couple things I teased before the break. I like the question, what's an area of the team that you're more optimistic about now than you were before training camp, as training camp has wrapped up? For me, I am more optimistic about the defensive line, not even necessarily because I saw a ton of stuff in camp, although the days that I was there, the defensive line looked great, but because I've simply thought about it more. The defensive line was a problem last year, and it's upgraded everywhere. I've mentioned this several times. Year two of Chris Jones is better than year one of Chris Jones. I'm going to say, well, first of all, also, Alan Bailey is going to be better than Jay Howard. Alan Bailey is a monster. The depth, Raheem Nunez-Roches is looking fantastic. He had one of the best games from anyone on the team that first preseason game. He put on a bunch of good weight over the offseason. He looks great. And I'm going to say that Benny Logan is going to be an upgrade over Dontari Poe. Also, I believe those things based off of what I've read and heard and researched. And I also believe it from what I saw at camp. So that's where I'm more optimistic than I was before camp began. A place where I'm a little more worried is at wide receiver. I think their wide receiver one spot is in really great shape. I've said over and over, Tyreek Hill is DeSean Jackson. He's T.Y. Hilton. He's not Tavon Austin. He's not Cordarrelle Patterson. Don't let his punt returns fool you. He's so much more than that. Beyond that, I get very nervous. Because Brandon mentioned a couple segments ago that he wants to hear something good about Dee Ford, that you never hear about Dee Ford's great camp day. I didn't hear about Chris Conley very often either. The Chris Conley highlights, I know he had the nice play in the preseason game, but the Chris Conley highlights, the Chris Conley praise has been pretty meager. Same goes for all the other guys. I could list off all the names Demarcus Robinson, Jehu Chesson, Shontavious Jones, kind of interesting, but he had low expectations. That's partially why. Albert Wilson, D'Anthony Thomas. You know, I just gave you, what, like five names of guys who could be number four receivers, maybe guys who could be number threes? Maybe. I could see D'Anthony Thomas being a good slot guy. I could see Chris Conley being a number three receiver in a good offense. I really wish this team saw Jeremy Maclin to be the number two wide receiver. I really, really do. I'd feel much better about this offense with Jeremy Maclin on it. With all that being said, I haven't seen anything from any of those other guys that makes me particularly optimistic about that area. So that's something that I'm going to be watching now to sort of pivot over to tomorrow night's game, Saturday night's game, depending on, I guess, when you're listening to the show. I want to see the quarterbacks. Obviously, I want to see their chemistry with the receivers. But I want to see which of these wide receivers are going to be making plays. I want to see who's getting separation, who is getting the ball at the point of attack, and then who is making something happen. I know Albert Wilson supposedly does all the dirty stuff, and he does all the jobs no one else wants to do. I get it. And if he makes his team, so be it. Even though it's going to cost like $1.3 million or something, fine. But he cannot be catching passes for this team regularly. That's insane. He might be perfectly good at doing all the dirty underneath stuff. He is not a guy I want trying to make plays. He just doesn't have it. I'm also interested to see how the defensive line holds up. I'm going to be watching Ramique Wilson very closely again. He had a great first preseason game. He had a good camp. He grew a lot last year throughout the season. I'm very interested to keep an eye on Ramique Wilson's development, his growth. And I'm going to be keeping an eye on the Jacksonville Jaguars Twitter feed, just in case. All right, Beards, do you have music for old-timey sports story?
I don't. We'll
that's fine.
We'll get
that's
more
fine.
Imaging,
I don't think this is going to be recurring. This feels like a kind of a one-off, but I'm into it.
I saw this on Reddit, and it made me laugh.
Okay.
In 1773, the racing stallion Pot 000000 was born. You might ask, why is his name so weird?
Hold on really quick. Let me. Beards, why is his name so weird?
Thank you for asking, Josh.
You're welcome.
It's because the owner wanted to call him Potato, and yet the stable boy wrote it down, Pot 000000.
That can't be
Pot
real.
Pot
8 O's.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Also, funny other note, his mother was named Sports Mistress.
Was named Sports Mistress or called Sports Mistress?
That's what her name was.
She was legally named Sports Mistress?
Yep. The horse's mother.
That makes more sense.
There you go.
That makes much more sense than having the... I think I took that as either the horse owner or the stable boy, whatever. I was assuming that one of them had a mother named Sports Mistress.
Actually, not a bad horse either. Won over 30 races and defeated some of the greatest racehorses of all time. A horse named Pot 000000.
I don't want to say about the show to a screeching halt because, like, that's a good story. Like, I'm glad that we have that in our arsenal now. I'm glad that you shared that with the class. Glad? Question mark? There are some people who are listening to this by way of the Chiefs podcast, and that they've just been getting, like, I mean, we've had pornographic amounts of Chiefs talk this whole time. Yeah. Just, I mean, it's got to be insane. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's this horse named Pot 000000. This sweet story that Beards brought to the table. It's a very big shift. Also, since we're going to go ahead and go off of Chiefs stuff for just the last couple of minutes of this show, Steve Bannon got fired. Joaquin Soria got put on the 10-day DL, which means he's been pitching with an oblique problem for weeks, which is totally unacceptable. Salvador Perez is starting to take batting practice again. The Royals started a 3-game series with their most important rival tonight. Also, Sean Smith beat up his sister's girlfriend, so it may be terrible, it may be totally justified.
Yeah, have we come to a consensus on that yet?
No, because we're still waiting to figure out why he beat up his sister's girlfriend. Good question, though. Because, yeah, I mean, like, it's pretty easy in general to be like, oh, here's a consensus. Don't beat anyone. And then it's like, well, but if you're gonna, and you're gonna point out the fact that, it's your sister's boyfriend, I'm not gonna say there's no chance that that wasn't at least, if not justified legally, at least, like, morally defensible.
Like, my sister has reached the age where she's...
How old is your sister?
16.
Okay, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. So I'm just, in my mind, I've had to think, okay, who am I going to have to beat up? Why?
And how, I guess, is
yeah.
probably the third question.
Well, no, it'll just happen. Like, there won't be a why behind it. It'll just happen.
So, can I... There's a pretty good chance she... I'm trying to figure out how to put this gently. There's a pretty good chance that your sister's boyfriends will be bigger than you and stronger than you are. What do you do then?
That doesn't matter. I took 8 years of martial arts.
Oh my God, what? What?
Yeah.
How do I not know so much about you? How are you such a puzzle?
It was years ago, to be fair.
How... 8 years of it? How long ago? When did you stop taking martial arts classes?
Like 14 or so.
So you took martial arts classes from age 6 to 14?
7, I'd say. 7 to 14 or 15.
Go beat up Brad Porter. He's just out here in the hallway.
I can take him.
Like, just karate chop his neck off real quick. Let me see it. I want to see it. I think he's too old for your sister by a lot, but... Just pretend, I guess. Hey, thanks for listening to this Chiefs show. You've been listening to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. We are here weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m. every day, every weekday. I still have a hard time figuring out how to say all of that. You should listen live if you don't now, or you can just, follow me on Twitter. That's the only thing that really matters in my life, apparently. I've lived a sad existence. Thanks to Seth and to Brandon Kiley. We'll talk to you next week. Bye, Mom.